Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. This is May 25th here on Tuesday night.
Sure. Lord, we just thank you that you've given us this day again and that we can gather together in your name. And Lord, we just pray that you would reveal any truth you want to share with us. Let your spirit move in us. Anoint this gathering and let us each speak from our hearts, Lord. And just be open to anything you may have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes. I was telling Glenn and Ken. That's awful. I can't think of either one of their names. I was telling them that today I had a chance to talk to Dale on the phone.
Oh.
And he doesn't have a thing he's kind of put together, you know. But he knew who I was, and sometimes he don't know who Mary is. And he thought he was at Ben and Delicious, and he was in the hospital. And they have him drugged up pretty bad because of the extreme pains. But I think it's a lot better. I don't know, you know. But I felt last night as I was praying, I felt, you know, if I could pray with him so he could hear, you know, and I don't know what happened, but I prayed, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he was open to hear it. And as I did, it's just a couple of minutes, but as I did, all of a sudden we could hear the digging and the bells and the whatever else, and which is, he's hooked up to all these machines. And we never heard the end of it. I mean, and Mary apparently just sapped her end of the thing. So I don't know if maybe God touched him.
No.
I have no idea what happened, if anything. But God's going to heal him. And the thing about it, which is the same as his problem, is about the same as ours or anybody else or most Christians, you know. And life is where it's at. This life is where the value is. You know, it's like, I got work to do. I got to get this thing done. There's a song that Gridley was singing. That's something I can't remember. There's work to be done. I got to get it done. Or a modern day song. And his life is like most Christians. It's like we got to. And Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And his idea or his teaching is a lot different. And, you know, he would get kicked off from most of the television programs.
Right.
And yet it was truth. He was born and came to speak the truth, and that's what he did. And, but anyway, it says, and I'm just sure, but the thing we never paid much attention to it, but, the seventh chapter of Matthew is actually, speaking all about one thing, but it's divided up into sections. It's judgment, you know, don't judge, don't try to take the little article out or object out of your brother's eye when you got a log in your own. I had an experience that happened to me, and this is when I was in college. And we used to have a little band, and we had been somewhere, and we came back, and we stopped at not for me, because I never drank, but we stopped at a tavern. And I apparently seemed to be the most sober person that was there, so there's a guy that drove up, and he was holding his eye, and he'd gotten something that had flown into his eye while he was driving. And anyway, he said, and I don't remember what he said, I'll give you something, $20 or something, if you pick this out of my eye. And I thought, oh boy, this is really interesting. And I did. That was stupid, and what he said was stupid. And I picked it out, and I got it. And the guy was really happy, and he gave me some money, and he went on his way, you know. Well, anyway, apparently I didn't have any great big thing in my eye, and I would never get his little thing out, you know. But that's kind of what the seventh chapter it starts out with, yeah. You know.
Judgment,
and it says, you know, seeking you'll find, asking, you know, knocking the doors open, and, you know, that's all part of that. And you know what? That's also, it's in that chapter where it says, if you then be evil, know how to give your good gifts unto your children. But here it says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask Him? In Luke it says, when He gives the Holy Spirit. And so then it's all building up until it gets to verse 14, where it says, the way is straight and the door is narrow, and few there be that find it. You know what? There's not very, very, very few people that even stop to worry about that. Few there be that find it. You know why? Why is it that there's only few that find it?
I mean, a lot of them aren't looking for it very hard.
There's very few that are looking for it. And you know what? This has not really been a big thing with me either. But somehow the scriptures have caught up with me. And I looked at it in there. Many are called, but few are chosen. And Jesus says, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. You know, it's like He's the one that chooses those that He wants. Or the Father shows him who to choose, or whatever. And I have looked at this thing in the last few months. I don't want to say consumed, but in a way, yes, consumed with it. And while all of the things that we study in the Bible, all the things that we're looking for, the thing we want is to be chosen, or we want to find it. But we don't worry about it. We don't even think about it. Few there be that find it. Out of how many?
Strange arrangement.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm looking at it, and I've been really praying. I said, Lord, I want to find it. I want to be led by the Spirit, and I want to find it. I'm serious. You know, that was the thing that the voice asked me. It says, if you're really serious. And I have been the most serious in the last few months that I've ever been. And at the same time, I'm not beyond being like Paul was, you know. The good that I would, I do not. I'm not beyond that. And so God has got to take and make up my weaknesses or whatever it is. He has to do it for me. Something special has to be done. And yet, the numbers in heaven were so huge that no man could number them. This is that Revelation, I think.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's in Revelation somewhere. But
maybe later on.
But he also, it also says it to in the Old Testament that is it Abraham's children would be like the sand.
Right.
As the sand on the shore. So that's pretty.
Stars amazing. In the sky. And, right.
Yeah, pretty. No,
I don't know that. So those who will inhabit heaven, but certainly that's an indication.
Yeah. Sons or whatever it said to be. Mm-hmm. So let's see. I don't know where exactly.
When it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That kind of suggests that the normal church approach is not right. You know what I mean?
Sure. You know, people can make a profession of faith. Say, yeah, I have faith. But you, if you somehow or other had a way of watching them for a while, you know, you would not see a life of faith. You'd see a life that is focused on the mundane, the here, now, the, you know.
Yeah. There's a lot of.
And I'm not excluding myself. You know.
And there's a lot of selfishness in us and in humanity. And for years, even, you know, I'm kind of an easygoing individual and soft-spoken and so forth, but I've been kind of wanted what I wanted, you know, for most of my life, and I think that's kind of what most people are, you know. Like the way you were, and you weren't really willing to change it, no matter what. And then you don't really trust anybody else to tell you what changes you'd make. How do you trust them? I mean, the law that they got might be bigger than what's in your eye, you know. And the change that really took place was listening to God's word. That began to clear up a lot of areas, a lot of things in my life. So the last 15 years or so of Joanne's life was a picnic. You know, I don't know that we ever argued over anything. We just we rejoiced in the Word of God, and you know, and just really, really excited. I never thought that she was gonna die. I was never given any indication. Nothing. I've been healed so many times, and she was healed so many times, but I just thought she was going to be okay. She was diagnosed with cancer in 2011, and when they took some biopsies and whatever it is and checked everything over, they said, there's no sign of cancer anyplace in her. So that took quite a few years to.
Well, it was a blessing because what she had was basically a cancer-free life while she had cancer.
Yeah.
You know, you live under a diagnosis. That's you live a different life than you would if you didn't. You know? And I don't think it would be a better life. It could be a worse life if you're living under this. Now, you know, it was a blessing from the Lord that she was able to just merely get weak and not be racked with pain and whatever. You know, that's just blame the Lord. But
she was not good at hiding pain. So that's what threw me off. She said, right where Ken said it, and I said, here, and we'd watch Forensic Files and some of that, you know. I told her, I don't want to watch something that's made up, that's a figment of somebody's imagination. I want to watch the truth, the things that really happened. And that's what we did. You know, I like to read the Bible because it's true. I don't like to read what somebody says about it, that's not true.
Found a reference in Revelation.
He found it.
Chapter 7 starts in 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
Taken as the whole group, there's quite a few there.
Yeah.
It's not a few there be to find it, but a few have it.
Is that a few out of the multitudes? Which is still big?
Yeah, right.
And how many generations?
Sure.
I'm going to read just two more verses. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders, and this is right after what I just read. You know, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. It's kind of interesting that the reference is only to God.
You know,
it's a separation, you know.
You know what? I want to be there.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that's where I want to be. And I'm not so sure that I spent a lot of time over the years thinking about it. That's where I want Dale to be there, you know.
There's a little bit of a down note further on, though.
Revelation is like that.
Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. And washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them.
They came out of the great tribulation. I wonder what that means. I wonder if it means they were snatched away in a rapture, or whether they
endured it. Endured it. That's interesting. I kind of assumed right at first that, well, they were in the tribulation, but as you were just repeating it, I'm not sure exactly what that means.
That's Revelation verse 7.
They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I don't know.
That doesn't necessarily mean their own martyrdom.
No, I guess not. That don't mean that either.
What verse is that all that?
That's continued from, 14.
14 and on?
Yeah.
Okay.
What chapter?
7. You know what's interesting? It's saying right at the end of that chapter, "For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Shouldn't that be at the end of the book?
Yeah. And it is at the end of the book too.
Yeah. So it's, and this is all going on while the seals are being opened.
Yeah. Now that is quoting Isaiah 49:10. That wiping away every tear from his eye. Or maybe it's Isaiah. No, it's Isaiah 25:8.
That's interesting. I have references before that, but nothing for that verse.
Don't fall asleep over there, will he? Oh.
Yeah, that just dawned on me that, you know, to wipe away every tear and everything, it's interesting. It's that early in the... So that's why it's not really... I don't think that's what's troubling about Revelations. It's not really chronological.
No.
You know?
No.
It's. I think it's showing one aspect and it shows another aspect.
In Isaiah 25:8, it says, "He will destroy death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people he will take away of all the earth that the Lord has spoken in," which is end times talk too.
Yeah, that's interesting. They didn't have that in this in mind. And they have references, you know, of 16. Got one, two of them at least. Oh, wait a minute. There's an A.
With respect to that, the greater question, though, the one that you started out with, Keith, about how it just... It's not the kind of priority it ought to be.
Exactly.
And it's not the kind of priority.
Right on, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and that's most certainly true for me. Fine.
Yeah, oh yeah. No.
I long for the day, though. I do long for the day when it is the priority that it should be.
I'll tell you what has really helped me. The realization... You know, they said, who then can be saved? You remember they said that Jesus, who then can be saved? He said, with men it is impossible. But with God, all false
is really possible. Yeah.
So, you know what my thing is? What I need to be doing is, I need to be, is that's a not the whole prayer, but that's a priority in prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord, I need you to get me there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we make our own assessment right now, and we see our own condition, and we say, no way, you know? Well, isn't that an essential element of grace? I mean, no, that's right. No way. But with God's grace, he makes a way.
You know, and I'm going to stress this for the tape. This is the interesting thing, that we can feel that and know that it looks like we're no way after having all this truth given to us. That we've gotten so far, it's not all of it, all truth. It's just the truth that we've been given. So it means it's been doing a work.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Because we're not sitting there thinking we got it made and that we're in, because, God, look at what God's been doing for us, you know.
Yeah.
That just, it just makes you.
Yeah, and we have so many things in the scriptures that point us towards God's way of thinking. I mean, what God likes and what he wants. And there's the prayer of the Pharisee and the publican.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. How many people have I met over the years that were thankful that they were not like other men? Without me going into any, you know, it's like they're heads above everybody. They're just, you know, they're.
Dan, how does God say that? And the one I look to is the one who is humble and has a contrite spirit.
Yeah, something like
that.
Yeah, humble and a contrite spirit.
To this man will I look.
Yeah, to this man will I look. That's how it starts.
And trembles at his word.
Yeah, right.
And who trembles at God's word, yeah.
You know, the Pharisee does not raise those kinds of things as the evidence that he is better than other people.
Well, you know what?
He lists out, you know, tithing, whatever. You know.
He was a good church goer.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Following the law.
Well, even the Christian church, you know, just he fasted, he tithed, he.
These outward actions, right?
You know, he did what a good guy does. Mm-hmm. But the thing that seems to affect the heart of God more than anything is the humility and the brokenness and the contrite spirit, you know.
Yeah.
To this man will I look. It's in Isaiah 63, maybe.
You know, and we can probably make the statement, you know, we're just finally beginning to be a Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, it's in Isaiah 66. This man will I look, even to him that is poor of a contrite spirit and trembled at my word.
You see, that's what you just stated, basically.
Yeah.
For yourself. You know you're poor, you know, and because you know that, you have a contrite spirit, and you do tremble at his word. That's how we get to be where we feel that.
And the last thing we want to do is judge anybody.
Yeah.
And yet you start presuming on Lord's grace, and that's no good either. I mean, we are in a perilous state. We are. We start thinking, I mean, on the one hand, God is good, and he has bestowed his favor, and there's no way around that. On the other hand, it's perilous.
Yeah. When you see a verse like the one that says, many are called, but few are chosen, it's scary. You know?
Yeah, it is.
It's scary because it's really not up to us. And it's not up to anybody we don't. This is all up to God. And it's his requirement. So what has he given us here? He's given us what he's looking for. And he wants us to read it and study it and get it into our system until we know what he's looking for. And of course, we had the thief on the cross, but you know what? We can't use him as an example.
No.
There's only one of those.
Yeah. Well, we don't know that there aren't, but you don't want to count on it.
Yeah.
And there was only one of them, but
yeah.
But that's not to say there can't be something close to it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Nobody else is hung on the cross.
Right. Along with
I've heard anyway of kings and the ones that are in some of the churches that they used to feel that baptism was a point of salvation. And of course, Peter says that, you know, by baptism you're saved, but it's an act of a good conscience. And so, anyway, they're thinking that they wanted to be baptized just before they died.
So they could do whatever they wanted up to that point.
Yeah, so that would be it would be safe. But how do they know exactly when they're going to die? You know.
And you know, the act of it, it's got to be, it's a sign or something of a greater work in the heart,
mm-hmm.
baptism. You know, just the outward motion, I don't think that accomplishes really anything. You just get wet, that's about it. But not that, you know, it's significant, it's important.
I wonder how it is if you feel in your heart that you're just being obedient to God.
Yeah. If you go into it with a heart of obedience, yeah.
Hopefully we'll be able to share enough with people to know that there's a greater meaning. Well, supposedly a greater, you know, that you're dying with Christ and you're dying to self, so that you want to be a new person from that point on, you know.
Yeah.
New creation. But you kind of get that, though, when you just confess and your sins before the Lord, become born again,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, I still remember my sister Pat saying, I don't want to get all wet, you know. She was happy and funny, but truthful, I think.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, that seems kind of silly. Yeah, just to get all wet.
Well, that's the problem. That's the advantage of Ron Teasmo. Sprinkly.
Oh, I've watched a few Viking type saga movie, you know, type things. And, well, that was a big deal with the Christians back then, you know. If they could get one of them Vikings to be baptized, that was the deal.
Well, and maybe, you know, you attach enough significance to it, then it is.
It was interesting in those depictions, though, of how the Vikings were steadfast in their beliefs of their gods as the Christians were in their one God, you know. And there were some pretty good arguments going on, you know, in the natural, because there was such hypocrisy with the ones at the time that were claiming to be Christians. Because they were killing people and everything else. They just thought they were a little more civil about how they did it.
I am with you though, Keith. I want to be in that among the great multitude in white robes there.
And you know what? I've been feeling lately that that we want to put more emphasis on the, on that condition, because it's like the church by and large is like, well, we just attend church service. We have three or four services a week, and we, you know, and that's their life. That's not Christianity. I'm not so sure that I have. I've never. I don't know that I've ever walked in real Christianity.
I think we certainly are in a measure now, but I just feel different than I used to.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, in some areas I can tell I'm totally different. You know, I mean, for one, judgment. I still succumb to it, I'm sure, but not nearly like I was. You know.
You're talking about
feeling pretty righteous for a while too, but way back when. But
talk about Dale, you know, and you want him to be in heaven.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Lord's arrangement is, but it could be that this hit to the head is an element of what the unfolding of what God. You know, a remarkable miracle rising out of it, or whatever. You know, I don't.
He's a miracle right now.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
That he lived through it.
Yeah, he should have never lived through that.
And he's had a few things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Mary made a statement. She said that Dale is a fighter. And she was telling about, I won't tell it here, but at some point I'll tell you what the conversation was, and it's hard to get him down, and even when he don't know things or whatever it is, it's just it's well, I tell you what it is. It's a gun personality. That was my dad.
Hmm. There's a lot of those out there. A lot of those.
Yeah.
You know, I know.
Yeah.
Survivors.
But he'll fight his way back up if he can. Of course, if you're in a situation like that, I suppose you would.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, unless you don't. You know.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people that just give up.
Right. Yeah.
I think, to a certain degree, Charlie, you could possibly be in a much worse case. But for your your demeanor and your attitude and your, you know, about it all, then, you know, because you really... You've accepted, suppose, more or less, but you haven't given into it. You know.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens if I start having symptoms. But yes. I suppose I'm remaining upbeat about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if nothing else, it'd be giving you more years, probably. You know.
Sure.
If you'd immediately went into a depression state, who knows then, you know, because then your body knows when your mind gives in or whatever, you know.
Yeah, you do need to be upbeat.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, not to say we do it up in the natural necessarily, but some of it is.
Well, whatever. Yeah, no, you don't want to be in some kind of denial or something, you know.
Yeah.
But for one thing, it makes it a little nicer for the people around you.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. For your family. Yeah.
wise. He certainly had some strange things over the years.
Well, that's true. That is true.
Yeah. He had a Toyota pickup. Or did I tell you about that? And he was driving, this was out in Coeur d'Alene, or out in Idaho. And someplace he was driving about 50 miles an hour or so, 50 to 60. And he got too close to the edge of this bridge. There was a cement thing all the way along the side of it. And when he hit it with the right front fender, totally smashed his pickup and walked away from it. And the highway patrolman told me, he said, this, I've never seen that before. Never had a scratch. So he's had his share, you know.
Yeah. That sounds like the work of an angel.
Yeah. God's hands on him. And what are the chances that he's, I can even talk with him today after what he just went through. It's hard on Murray, of course, you know.
Yeah. You mentioned having prayed for Curtis for his headache and, you know, very severe headache, and it left. Keep doing those kinds of things, Keith.
You know what, Charlie? He came and sat down, and he held his head in his hands, and in a lot of pain. And I knew that what I had to do was I had to pray for him. I haven't been doing it. That was an understanding before I did it. That's one of the very few times that's ever happened to me. He sat down on the couch where Glenn is. And he was just holding his head in his hands in horrible pain. And I prayed and it was gone. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
I've only seen that a couple times ever. Most of the healings and great miracles I've seen, I didn't even know we could see them. And people have said, they heard me say, well, you had the gift of healing. I don't think so. I think that the Bible says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed.
You were a believer then.
And you know what I mean? I think that means anybody.
Mm-hmm. And yet there are seasons, you know?
Yeah.
And there's been a kind of a lengthy season with nothing much like that going on.
Yeah.
But consider there to be a new season.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm asking for. I'm praying for that because I don't want any credit for it. You know, I try not to take it.
Last thing you need to do is have to battle pride or something in the whole thing. And yet, it's better. It's better if you are in a situation where you pray for someone and they get better.
Yeah.
That's a better deal.
Well, that's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Well, all we're doing is living the Bible if it happens, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be able to manifest God's character the way He is.
Yeah.
And a feature of what God is one who heals. He's a healer.
You know what I was thinking today? This is a kind of a mundane thing, but God must have loved green. Huh?
Got a lot of it going on right now.
Yeah. But I have had, just looking out here, I have had so many shades of green.
The minute you said it, I thought, well, he really likes blue, too.
Yeah, he does.
He can cover the whole sky with it if he wants.
You know, I catch him in a different time of year, and he must really like kind of gray and black, too. A little brown thrown in.
You know, if eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, what exactly does he have for us?
Yeah.
What haven't we seen? What haven't we heard?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, yes, yes. What a day that will be, like the old song used to go, you know?
Yeah.
One thing I've been doing is writing about my cancer, right, you know, online. And I have, it's more directed to my whole family and, you know, people that aren't saved. But I have talked about my prayer connection with it and so forth. And, praying about it and praying, you know, whatever. But I'm thinking of doing a number of them on. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
And it might be a little bit, you know, off-putting for some people, but that's too bad. I want to express that I want to go to heaven.
And only He can get you there.
Yeah.
That's the thing that we have to remember.
Yeah.
And so that requires an ongoing fellowship and communion with Him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And to love truth. That scripture there, and it's the 1 Thessalonians, he had not a love for the truth. I just see that as being key. Hey, if you don't love truth, you probably wouldn't feel very comfortable in heaven, or whatever, you know.
Not
really your home.
When I ran into that scripture that, to see that my children are walking in the truth, that thing that somebody write up. When I saw that, it just hit me. It's like, let's make that a priority. If Jesus came to, if He was born and sent to bear witness to the truth, how important is it? We could say a lot of reasons, look at a lot of reasons why He was here, but He said, I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. And so the Pilate said, well, what is truth? Well, he said what most people say.
Yeah.
What difference does it make?
He kind of dismissed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, how would He do anything else? It's the only ones who are hear His voice are those who are of the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. How is that said? How does He say that? It's in John 18, but He says...
Well, it's for this reason that I have come into the world.
And they, they that are of the truth, hear my voice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Curtis seemed to think they'd be in here next week.
Oh, really?
Oh. Okay. Everyone who is of the truth, hears my voice.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't sure how it said that, but I don't quite understand what he means there.
Well, I don't have a total grasp of it, and yet it's, you know, of the truth. You know, there are some people who are of the truth and some who aren't.
Who want the truth, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say all that comes, the love of and the love of the truth.
Maybe
that's a better way. Those who love the truth hear his voice.
Or they come that way. It's a work of grace. With the Lord, that there are some people who respond to truth.
Yeah.
And others that,
You know, I looked and for a long time. I don't know if you could understand anything about what was going on, but I had a problem with baptism. And it's like I couldn't in my mind figure out how this all fit. Okay. And then, in Hebrews 9:22, where it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And then I saw in here where in Hebrew, or in, I think it was Acts 2:78, maybe, it says, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And I thought, this doesn't really make sense. Then I got it. I started to get it. The only blood that qualifies was his. We had the other types of the animals and so forth. There were types of his blood. But the only blood that really could take care of sin was his. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So without so be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, because his blood is what it takes to cover you.
That's kind of. I believe the fact that his blood is there, but then I would. But when you were saying all that, so that kind of leaves two of them out of the picture.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So there is a little contradiction there in Matthew, or something. Yeah. Something going on.
It is a confusion.
Yeah.
What Matthew 28:19 does is confuse. It blurs the picture.
You know, and I've been, every now and then I've been thinking on that, always pops in. It's like, I think he gave us the insight that, sometimes he'll let something be in there. If you want to be tricked, I'll let you be tricked. I don't know.
Well,
yeah, that's what I believe.
I was taught as I was really knee-high to a grasshopper in those days, but I was taught that the Catholic Church had put a number of things in, including that. And they put in 1 John 5:7, and it's not in. It's only in the King James. You won't even find it in the New King James.
I looked that up and it wasn't.
Yeah, and It's not in any of the other ones that I could find anywhere. And what they've done is they've left in verse 7, verse John 5, but they took verse John 5, 6, and 8, and took and made 7 out of the middle of those two verses. First John 5:7 could be pretty much the same in your what is that the Bible you got, Johnny?
Well, I have the 8 translations here, but
every time I hear that on my
They do, there's a note in the NIV, and the others do. They stick a note in there. Late manuscripts of the Vulgate, that's the Latin translation of the Greek, when they put in, testify in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one. And there are three that testify on earth. But it's not found in any manuscript before the 14th century, which was way late, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's people that get some helping.
Yeah. See, the way it reads here makes absolutely no sense, especially if we understand the Godhead as God has been shown to us. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one.
Yeah, but
what does seven say in most of the translations?
For there are three that testify, and then verse 8, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are in agreement.
Is that all seven says?
That is, well, that's seven, and then they have seven as, for there are three that testify. That's the end of verse 7. And it goes on to verse 8. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement.
What about verse 6? Oh, wait.
This is that. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth.
Okay.
For there are three that testify. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. So.
The Spirit and the what?
The water and the blood. That's the NIV. That's verse 8. 1 John 5, 8.
Yes, well in 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and...
That's in the New King James.
Okay. Well, and in the NIV, verse 7, all it is, for there are three that testify. End of verse.
So this is New King James?
Verse 8.
What does it say?
Well, okay, I'll read from 6 through 8. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. That was the same. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one.
Well, that's pretty much the same as the King James.
Yeah. And what they're saying is that that doesn't show up in any translation until it's much, much later, like 1,400 years later.
Yeah. But to me, that isn't. Doesn't make the Trinity.
No.
I mean, because the Father and the Word are one, and the Spirit, and He is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
It's not.
Ah, there has to be a Trinity. If this is true, no, it doesn't. That doesn't follow.
And it's interesting the way it speaks of Jesus. You know, it's water and blood He came by.
Yeah, there's the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. What? Regardless, it's hard. You know, it's not an easy thing to understand.
You know, I was just looking up here in this Berean Bible. Yeah. Boy, they got it altogether different. I'll start reading it from chapter 6.
Verse 6?
Verse 6, excuse me. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water alone, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies to it, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. And that's all it says.
It leaves out the middle portion of.
Then it jumps right down to verse 9.
And that is a lot like what is in the NIV too. Yeah, but it does. That's right. And I guess that's probably a little more faithful to what. It was a major addition.
Yeah.
A major omitment.
There's more of them that have it that way than the way that the New King and the...
Yeah, I think the King James is the only one. The New King James.
Then
there's a note here that says, well, it's pretty iffy on this stuff. You know, because it was only four or five very late manuscripts contain these words in Greek.
The Catholic Pope accredited himself or something as being the one who put in some of those things.
You know, I do have a note too that.
Oh, note that. Yes.
Yeah.
He just was looking to clarify, I suppose.
Certain texts omit the words from in heaven, verse 7, through on earth, verse 8. Only four or five very late manuscripts contain these words in Greek.
Yeah. You know, I suppose. Being infallible, you kind of figure you can fix the Bible. And if you are infallible, I suppose you can.
Oh, you're in the Pope.
And there are people today that have so much confidence in what's the word I want? In What is the one that... Hello.
Dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, are you in the middle of your meeting?
Oh, we're just closing it up.
Okay.
Well, we were just at it. That's okay.
Okay, no, I'm just calling so that you guys can all pray for Dale. He's having a hard time. He's got a different nurse group, and they miscalculated his weight, and so they were trying to readjust him on the bed, and they banged his sore head on the headboard of the bed into excruciating pain.
Okay.
And so he's in excruciating pain already, and then they accidentally slammed his head on the headboard.
They're adjusting him. It was a new staff, and they misjudged his body weight. When they lifted him up, he was lighter than they thought.
Okay, we'll pray for him.
So you guys gather right now and pray.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
I didn't catch.
They went to move him, and they thought he was heavier than he was, and so they banged his head against the headboard, and now he's in excruciating pain because his head was already.
Yeah.
And so now they've given him so much to keep the pain down. It's right up to where if they did any more, it could kill them.
Okay. Well.
So.
Okay.
Well, why don't we
close the service.